You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Why Not Mint Money. So today we have our guest as Mr. Shravan Goyal. He heads passive arbitrage and quant strategies at UTI AMC. He is a CFA charter holder. With over 16 years of experience in risk management, equity research and portfolio analysis, today he is here to share his words of wisdom on passive investing.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
Hi, Shravan. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
So my first question to you is, Shravan, passive funds are gaining a lot of traction in developed markets, and a large part of incremental flows is also going to passive funds. So do you see similar trends emerging in India?
So we have seen phenomenal growth of passive funds in India in last 10 years. So size of passive funds have grown from just about 10,000 crore to almost 9 lakh crore in last 10 years.
Okay.
So almost 90 times growth in last 10 years. At the same time, as a percentage of mutual fund industry's AUM, it has increased from just about 1% to almost 17% now. So we have seen a lot of growth in passive funds in last few years. So initial phase of growth was primarily driven by retirement funds such as EPFO, because EPFO and other retirement funds were mandated to invest initially 5% of annual allocation in ETFs, which was subsequently increased to 15% of annual allocation. But at the same time, incremental growth is seen across various verticals such as RIAs, distributors, family offices, advocating these simple yet effective investment solutions to their clients.
I see.
We believe that going forward, the growth could be much more broad-based, mainly because retail investors led by new age investors are aware about the benefits of these low-cost investment solutions. Because of improved internet penetration, investors are becoming aware about these passive solutions. And
okay,
believe that we could see much more broad-based rally or growth in going forward.
That's an interesting insight, Shravan. So my second question to you is, within passive funds, how should investors choose between ETFs and index funds?
So objective of both ETF and index fund is to replicate the benchmark with an aim to generate returns which are very close to the underlying benchmark.
Yeah.
So passive funds are also called beta tracker because these kind of funds help you generate market returns.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So we believe that the mode of investment is based on the convenience and overall cost of ownership.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So investment in ETF is very similar to investment in stocks because investors who want to invest in ETF, they can invest through exchanges, right?
Right.
While investment in index fund is very similar to investment in mutual funds.
Mutual funds,
because
yeah,
you invest and get D and NAV. So investors should choose between ETF and index fund based on overall cost of ownership and convenience of investments. So investors who are aware about the nuance of investing in stocks and convenient to invest in stocks, they could choose to invest in ETFs. While investors who believe that from longer-term perspective, it is not very important to capture intraday price movement, they can choose to invest in index fund.
Right. So you are saying the overall cost of ownership is on the higher side with ETFs, is what you have to say.
So we believe that overall cost of ownership includes, apart from expense ratio, it also includes brokerage, demat charges, and impact cost of ETFs.
Right, yeah.
While these costs are bundled up in case of index fund platform.
Right, so, bundle the best total expense.
Any investor who is having account with, say, discount brokers who is paying lower brokers, they can choose to invest in ETFs.
Right.
While, so I'm saying rather than just focusing on expense ratio charged by AMC, you should also be considering that overall cost of investment in ETFs.
Right. So my third question to you, Shravan, is one of the biggest concerns of investors in ETFs is liquidity. How can the industry overcome this issue? What do you have to say about this?
So we believe that higher execution cost is a perceived risk, or liquidity is a perceived risk in case of ETF.
Okay.
Because market, so AMCs are mandated to appoint market makers or authorized participants who are providing liquidity on exchanges. So for example, if you are an investor wants to buy ETF units, then market maker will provide that units to you.
Right.
And in turn, market maker will come to AMCs to create those units.
Liquidity for.
Or liquidity for themselves. So we believe that it's a perceived risk. Although we believe that as and when the development of passive funds improved drastically and there are a lot of retail participation, then liquidity will further improve. So it's onus lies on all the market participants, right?
Right.
To improve the liquidity. So if distributors and RIAs are advocating these solutions to their investors, in that case, liquidity will further improve going forward. But at the same time, market regulator SEBI has come out with efficient market making mechanism, wherein because of better settlement process, the capital requirement for market maker will further reduce in these ETFs. So we believe that the efforts are made in the right direction to improve liquidity for these ETFs going forward.
Right. Just I'm curious about who does the AMC appoint as market makers?
So market makers are nothing but brokers.
Brokers, okay.
Who are also dealing in these securities.
Right, right. So it's more of a perceived problem.
Yes. Although during extreme market environment, for example, during election day,
that happened,
there could be slightly higher liquidity issue. Mainly because these market makers find it difficult to provide liquidity in such volatile market environment. So the spreads could increase during extreme market environment.
But,
we don't see that kind of scenario playing out on a regular basis.
So my next question to you is, what are some exciting emerging opportunities that you see within passive investments going forward?
So we believe that investors should start with simple to understand market cap oriented funds such as Nifty's and Checks, because wider audience is aware about these indices, because we know these indices for 20-30 year period, right? But apart from these broad market cap based indices, index funds are available in different platforms such as thematic funds such as consumption, manufacturing. ETFs are index funds. At the same time, index funds are also based on sectors such as IT ETF, bank ETF, healthcare ETF. But apart from these market cap and thematic and sectoral based ETF, new set of avenues have opened up in last few years. So these are called smart beta factor based indices.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So people have analyzed performance of these factor based indices globally from longer term perspective. For example, there are four broad types of factor based indices such as momentum, low volatility, quality and value. Right. So these are rule based smart beta fund wherein portfolio is created based on certain rules.
Right.
For example, let's say quality is a very important parameter within mid-cap space. So we have a mid-cap oriented quality index fund, which is called UTI Nifty 150 Mid-Cap Quality 50 Index Fund, wherein 50 high quality companies are selected from broader mid-cap universe based on certain quality parameters such as ROE, low...
That's interesting.
Low financial leverage and consistency of profit growth. So based on these parameters, these smart beta funds can be created. For example, we have close to two decades of data in Indian markets, and these smart beta funds have performed far better as compared to plain vanilla market cap based index fund.
Yeah.
So apart from broad market cap based ETF or index fund, investors can also use these smart beta fund to generate additional returns for their portfolio.
That's an interesting insight again. So my last question to you, what are you doing to popularize passive funds, the concept of passive funds among the investors and distributors?
So I would say passive funds are pull products, mainly because they are providing investors simple yet effective investment solution at a relatively lower cost as compared to active funds, right? But at the same time, we believe that the entire investment community, including distributors, should make an effort to combine both active and passive in any investor's portfolio.
Yeah.
Because to achieve a longer term objective of investors, it is very important that you combine benefits of both active and passive.
Yeah.
So we believe that these two are complementary investment styles. So there should not be competition between active and passive.
Okay.
So if entire distribution community make an effort to combine benefits of both active and passive in an investor's portfolio, then in that case, it will go a long way in achieving investors' long-term investment objective.
As a beginner, how much should one have passive investments in their portfolio?
See, it depends upon the aggressiveness and investment objective of any investor. We believe that asset allocation plays far bigger role in any investor's portfolio, which is actually overlooked in most of the cases. People are trying to find best stocks and best mutual fund schemes, which is easier said than done, because persistency of active performance is pretty low in a sense. If you analyze longer term data, then funds which have done well in recent past may not do well going forward. To make money in any investment product, you have to anticipate which funds will do well going forward.
That's right.
So we believe that from core part of the portfolio should be created in combination of
both
broad market cap based index fund as well as diversified active funds. And then satellite portfolio could be created based on these thematic and smart beta funds.
could you just tell us what are some misconceptions about passive funds that people think?
So the biggest misconception, according to me, is people say that passive funds don't generate alpha.
Hmm.
So we need to understand that aim or objective of passive fund is not to generate alpha.
Right. Yeah.
Objective of passive funds is to replicate the benchmark and thereby generating returns which are very close to overall market returns with us. With a much lower cost as compared to active funds. So active funds are exposed to certain systemic market risk, right? And there could be very high variation in active funds performance as compared to broad market cap-based indices.
Yeah.
While performance of passive funds would be very similar to underlying benchmark. So objective of both active and passive is very different. So one should combine both to get desired outcome from longer term perspective. At the same time, we talked about these smart beta factor-based strategies, right?
Mm.
Which have performed exceedingly well from longer-term perspective. So investors could combine combination of broad market cap-based index fund as well as these smart beta funds to generate slightly better returns as compared to plain vanilla market cap-based.
Right. So what is your market outlook or how do you see markets going forward?
So in last couple of years, we have seen that markets are performing exceedingly well, right?
Mm.
So broad market cap-based index funds as Nifty has delivered close to 20-odd% return in last couple of years.
Hmm.
At the same time, the broader market cap-based indexes as mid-cap and small-caps have generated far higher return as compared to large-cap.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But investors should be aware that market has tendency to revert back to mean valuation.
Hmm.
Some of the pockets such as mid and small-caps, which are trading at 60 to 70% premium as compared to their own long-term averages in terms of various valuation parameters such as
PE
and price to book value ratio, have tendency to revert back to mean valuation. So one should not get too excited about recent performance of these pockets.
Right.
And one should keep rebalancing the portfolio based on long-term investment.
Long-term investments.
So these are some of the things which investors should keep
in mind.
Investors should always build the portfolio based on relative opportunity rather than what has worked in the past. Because these pockets keep reverting.
Keep reverting. Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Anil. Thank you.
So that brings us to the end of this episode. If you want to know more on this topic, you can reach out to me on my Twitter, which is @PosteAnil, or on LinkedIn using my full name, Anil Poste. We will be happy taking your suggestions. Thank you for tuning in. See you in the next episode.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.